Thinking what is singing, fill my cup, Lord. If you have a desire to fill your cup with God's power, God's presence, you ought to thank the Lord for it. So many don't have that desire. And he that hungereth and thirsteth after righteousness shall be filled. I was telling our folks yesterday, I said, really, when we come to the place that the Bible is not as fresh to us as it was, and we're eager to hear it, we're backslidden condition and need to stop and think about it. What a joy to be here. Brother Gene, it's so good to see you. I knew him back in the 1800s. And, hey, praise the Lord. Well, Dr. Lakin, you knew him, B.R. Lakin, Lord, he used to preach revivals for us. And he was a big cut up. But he told me one day, he said, Brother Bobby, I was in a meeting, some church somewhere, and said it was keeping me in a motel. And he said, a maid came in, cleaned up my room. And I said, I'm going to witness to that woman. He started talking to her about being saved and told her how to get saved. And said, she just looked at him and she said, I don't have no education. And he said, I told her, you don't have to have an education to get saved. And then he used Abraham Lincoln as an illustration. He said, well, Abraham Lincoln became the president of the United States and he didn't have a high school education. He said, you don't have to have that. And said, that old lady stopped and looked at him and said, is that right? Did y'all go to school together? Amen. All right. So good. I want you to turn to Colossians chapter 1. With me tonight. I hope I can be a blessing. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. And boy, that's wonderful when you know that, isn't it? That's right, it really is. And I appreciate this church and your young pastor here. I didn't know where I could remember Jody or not. I meet people and I met him, but I couldn't remember. And Clarence Sexton called me, I think it's Saturday. And I told him I was coming over, and he said, Jody, he said, he looks just like Scott Pauley. But you're better looking than Scott is. So we'll do that. All right. Old Clarence, you know who I'm talking about. Most of you know who I'm talking about. He said, Brother Bobby, where's Wilkesboro, North Carolina? And I don't know where I was at, somewhere. This phone rung, you know, and my cell phone. And I said, well, I started telling him, do you know where Boone's at? No, he didn't know nothing. He said, I've done the craziest thing. He said, I'm on a 321 highway. You know, he's from Knoxville. And I'm going on to a Wilkesboro. And he said, I accepted an invitation to speak to a group of ladies. So the church over there is having a ladies meeting and wanted me to speak. He said, isn't that crazy? I said, yep, sure is, you know. I have to tell you this a little bit. My wife, you know, went to heaven a little over a year ago, last month, 16th of July, and I miss her. Oh, how I miss her. It's terrible. It's terrible. We got married when we was teenagers, and we were married 66 and a half years. And she had been poor health, but not that bad. Had died with a heart attack one night. But my wife was plain, simple. She never tried to put on anything. And I got two girls and two boys, and my girls started this ladies' meeting. It's some of you may come to it. It's grown up. I think they had 900,000, something like it last year. They used different ones, Hudson Sisters and different ones, you know. And my two daughters, they kind of headed up. You know, the ladies talk to the ladies. And then it's on Friday and then Saturday. And they asked me to always speak a few minutes at the end of it Saturday afternoon. Anyway, my wife, one of my girls, after it was there for about a year, said, Mama, would you like to say a word this coming year at the ladies' meeting? My wife, she wasn't trying to be funny. I laughed. I didn't let her know it. She said, I don't think you'd want me to. She said, if I did, I'd tell them women to go home, keep a clean house, cook something, take care of the young. That's what they ought to do. And they still taking that. That's been 20 years. My wife never did ask her to do it anymore. I mean, my daughters did, you know. But that's good. Well, listen, I do. I appreciate this invitation. I do. I got a little mixed up here. I was down here, right down the street when he called me and got me a nice motel room over there. That's the only thing. I can't stay in there very long. That's the problem. But I'm over here in the Holiday Inn Express, and it's nice, and I appreciate it. And Jody called and wanted to know if I wanted. Now, you may eat the evening meal, may be dinner, but it's still supper to me. We eat lunch by dinner time and supper time, you know. But anyway, he wanted to know if I don't know where he said dinner, supper or something. And I said, I will get there in time. And my girls take care of me so good. My youngest daughter and her husband have moved in with me. I live in a big old parsonage. I've been in that thing. I think the church built it 50 years ago. And it's a big old thing, so I got plenty of room. So my youngest girl and her husband, she's got two girls and four grandchildren. Hers and girls are married, so she looks after me. And she's got a basket full of junk, I guess you might say, candy. And the preacher asked him if he knew what a nab was. He don't even know what a nab. How many of you know what a nab is? Yeah, a few of you do. Well, yeah, you'll get educated someday. You'll do that. A nab is a pack of crackers and peanut butter that you go to store. That's what you call a nab down our way. And Molly, she fixed me up nabs and candy and oatmeal cookies. I'm kind of addicted to oatmeal cookies a little bit and all kinds of stuff. And then the preacher's got some stuff over there in the room. And I drunk a little of that. You got a, I don't know what that is, it says power or something. I've seen these fellas, you know, play ball. So I drunk a little of that a while ago. And then I got a little of that tea. That tea was good. I ate a nap and tea. So I've had supper tonight, and I've had enough. And I stopped, by the way. I got started, I don't know, about 12:30, 1 o'clock. And I stopped at a Cracker Barrel. And I wanted some of that homemade vegetable soup with cornbread. Man, that's good. And they didn't have it, so I just went on and eat. So I've had plenty to eat. And I appreciate the invitation to be here tonight. You know, I'm going to read through about verse 18, I believe. You know, the Apostle Paul was in prison when the Holy Spirit gave him this message. And I have a hardest time calling that fellow's name, Epaphras, I believe I pronounced his name right, if you read it down here. But it seemed like in studying that this man was probably in prison with Paul for some time. And the Holy Spirit gave Paul this message to the church at Colossae, and he delivered it. And there's some great things he said. Notice how he started off, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Now I could stop right there a minute. You don't hear much about the will of God today in our area too much. In my earlier ministry, you did. Everybody, and listen, you and I ought to constantly seek God's will for our life every day. God has a place for you, and he has a place for me. And don't misunderstand what I'm about to say. This resume, I'm not against it when they're hunting a preacher. But they weren't used to that, you know, back in my days, just seeking the will of God. Let me tell you, if I can, right quick, and we'll get through after a while. You know, I've been at Gospel Light. I'm the second pastor there. The church was started, and the other man stayed 7 years. A good man had a good ministry. And I'm born 3 miles from a church. And my home church is 3 miles away. And I remember when a man came about 4 miles up the road back in the 40s and put up a gospel tent. Some folks got saved. I remember him saying they started a church, a Gospel Light Baptist Church. And they built a little cement block building. And I just never got acquainted for 2 or 3 years. And then he had Dr. Harold Seitler over there. And I'd go anywhere to hear him preach. And Maze Jackson. So I began to go over there and listen to them and met the pastor. And he was a good man. I think I preached a couple times, just a young preacher boy. And anyway, he was there 7 years. And he felt the Lord wanted to be an evangelist. And I'd heard he was leaving. Okay. And I had took a little church about 10 miles from home. And I was working a job and enjoying it. I'd been there a year. I worked about 10 hours a day. And I come in one night and was eating supper a little late. And my wife said, some people from this Gospel Light Baptist Church over here has been here and said they wanted to see you, some men. And she just got it out of her mouth and a horn blowed in my yard out there. And I was eating. It was summertime and the front door was open except the screen. So I went to the door. And when I opened it, it was four men sitting there. I remember a little 52 Chevrolet. And one of them said, how about coming out of your car a minute? Well, I walked out. And one of them said, do you know us? And I said, we're from Gospel Light Baptist Church. And I said, I've seen you there, but I didn't know you. And they said, you know, Brother Long has left us now, gone into evangelism. I said, I heard that. They loved him so much. This is what those men said. Now, I thought of all that right here. They said, we've been praying and seeking God's will that we could find the right pastor. And said, we've been seeking here and there. And Brother Bobby, we believe it's God's will for you to be our pastor. And the words they said. It shocked me, really. And I said, well, I appreciate that invitation. But I said, I've only been down here where I'm at for a year now. We're getting along good in that little church. And they said, we don't expect you to answer us tonight. Never to get out of the car. We don't expect you to answer tonight. We just want you to pray. And we're going to continue to pray. And we believe God's in it. And we'll be getting with you later. And just took off. Tell you what I thought about this years and years later. Those men didn't ask me if I could read or write. They just wanted the will of God. See, God knew I could, of course. But friend, I'm said that to say this. I don't talk just a pastor. But anything you and I go at, we ought to constantly seek God's will. And I had a time, I several months, and my wife and I, we'd go to that church on Sunday, had service Sunday morning, Sunday night, had a midweek service on Tuesday night, and I'd leave from work, and she'd meet me there and go on, and we'd leave there on Sunday, and I'd say, honey, I can't leave this place. And she said, I don't say you can't either. It did take me a pretty good while to tell you God showed me I was supposed to do that. And that was the first Sunday in July 1956. And I didn't know where I was going to stay. Never thought about how long I'd stay. And now 60 years. And I don't know how long. Somebody say, how long are you going to stay? As long as I believe God wants me to, you know. I might pastor till I'm 100 if the Lord don't come back. And then just preach around the rest of my life, Gene. Amen. All right. But we don't know about that. But Paul, what I started to say, you read about a lot of his writings, and he says, by the will of God, by the will of God. And that's important. All right. Now, let me get on here. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints. Now, he's writing to us, you and I today, too, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae. Notice, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. Have you ever noticed in your Bible, you never have read peace and grace be with you? Because there is no peace apart from grace. That's got to be first. You ever notice? And notice what he said. Now he said in verse 3, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doeth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, notice, who for you is a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, and you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Now notice, if you will, next three verses, and I'm going to quit. He said he, talking about Christ, is the image of the invisible God. He's the firstborn of every creature. For by him, by Christ, you see, were all things created, that's in heaven and also in earth, and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things. And by him all things consist. Now notice this verse. And he's the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. I'm going to stop right there. You've read this probably many times, and I have too. I was reading this the other day, and I got to thinking about all these things that Paul mentioned that you've got in Christ. And then he comes to this conclusion. He ought to have all preeminence. He ought to have first place. Jesus Christ ought to have first place. Folks, I believe that it's here just like it is down our way. I've never seen the change. I know things are getting wickeder, but among believers, as it is in the last 4, 5, 10 years, and I believe this is what it is. You know, I was reading the other day, and I believe it's 2 Timothy chapter 3, in the last days, perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of self, proud, and so on. You remember what he said? And lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. We're living in that day. We're blessed with a lot of things. And we're living in that day, if we're not careful, we'll begin. There's nothing wrong with pleasures, but it's wrong in putting pleasures first. Jesus ought to have the first place. You understand what I'm saying? And that's what he's saying right here. In all things, he, the Lord Jesus Christ, should have the first place. I just put down here, and you know, when there's love for anything, you're going to work for that to be first. Now you think about it. And God has given you and I who are saved, he's given us his precious love through and by the power of the Holy Spirit when we accepted Christ as our Savior. And thank God for that. Now, we have that love. It's not our love. It's his love that's in us, you see. And we need to keep self out of the way and let that love be seen in our life. I think about Paul. You think what that man went through. Here he is beaten because he's standing for the truth. And the average Christian say, well, if the Lord must not want me to preach anymore, or he could protect me, and sat back in prison and pout about it. But you know what he done? He counted it worthy to suffer for the love of Christ. Him and old Silas got to singing, praising God over there at midnight. That old jailer woke up. Why did he call for, he called for light and said, search what unto me saved. Why didn't he go to somebody else in there? You ever thought about that? There's several prisoners. He said, I'm going to tell you, them boys has got something that I hadn't seen in prisons anymore. I mean, they're not mad. They're not pouting. They're over there happy. And there's beating when they put in here. What about the time when Paul was thrown out as dead? I believe he was there at Iconium, I think it was, and raised from the dead. And you know what he said? He said, I know a man one time was called up into the third heaven. And he's seen things that he just couldn't tell you about, you see. I've watched Paul's life and all the battles he went through. He said, and I think this is it, folks. In 2 Corinthians 5:14, Paul said, the love of Christ constrains us. You know what that means? It controls me. The love of Christ constrains me. Thus, if one died for all, then we're all dead. I think what he's saying, I can't get over how much Jesus loved. And I can't myself. I was thinking about this message a while ago over there, and I liked that little spell. And I want to say tonight, you and I ought to let him constantly have the preeminence, the first place, just some simple things, because he loved us so much he died for us. There's nobody ever loved us like Jesus Christ. He loved us. He died. He took our place. He who knew no sin, he was made sin that through him, we sinners like you and I that deserve to go to hell, he was made sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And don't you ever get used to again being saved. You know, you follow the old Apostle Paul there, if you will, in the book of Acts, from the 9th chapter when he got saved. And in every chapter, just about, and I was on the road to Damascus. You remember over and over, and I was on the road to Damascus. Don't never get over what Jesus does for you. And stay in love with him, my friend. Stay in love with him. What did I heard Dr. Bob Jones Sr. preach. I've been saved 67 years now. I think I'm right. I was 17. You can figure all that out. I'm just 85. A little older than this little fellow over here. But anyway, this is what I started to say. And I'd been saved about a year. Gene, I don't know where you ever there, the old Urban Street Baptist Church in Winston-Salem. Elmo Reniger was the pastor of it. And he used to have a lot of big conferences. Now, I've only been saved about a year, and I went over there to hear Dr. Lee Robertson, John R. Rice, and Bob Jones Sr. was speaking at that conference. And man, here I am, a young Christian. And I thought, now this fellow, Bob Jones, he started a school. He's probably going to be a real, you know, you shouldn't pass your opinion, but I thought he's going to be real stiff and starchy. I'll never forget, if you ever heard him preach, good night, he exploded. He used to, about every time I heard him preach, preached one time for me, about every time I heard him preach, he'd get started and he'd always say, you bunch of modernists, you're going to hell if you don't get saved. I mean, he didn't mind telling you the truth, but wait, this is it. Well, listen, talking about love. I never forget this, and this has got to be 65 years ago. He prayed before he preached. And folks, I really see, don't know that much about the Bible now, but I didn't know that nobody ever seen the Lord with their eye. And I actually peeped to see if I could see Jesus. I never heard anything like that in my life. This is just about what he said. Dear Jesus, he started off, Dear Jesus, I love you. I thank you for dying for the little South Alabama boy like me. And I thank you for the Holy Spirit that convicted me and showed on me I need to be saved. And I thank you for the faith you gave me to trust you as my Savior. He's still praying. He said, Jesus, you're wonderful. He said, you put so many stars out there, I never have been able to count them all. He said, that beautiful sun, that beautiful moon, he just kept talking, kept praying. And honestly, this is what he said before he got through. He said, by faith, I just want to get up here and put my arms around your neck and tell you how much I love you. And brother, he said amen and took off preaching. I seen right there, it makes a difference. We need to never get away from what Jesus Christ said. has done for us. Go back yonder. Could I tell you quickly? I got married when I was 17. I know I was too young, but I did. My daddy died when I was 12. My wife and I dated for a year. Her parents didn't want her to get married, and my mother didn't, but we got married. She's going to Methodist Church. We got married in Methodist Church. And mother, I'd got out of church after daddy died, and mother used to come. My mother was a widow, 47 years, and she used to come to the room. We didn't have my bedroom and your bedroom. We just slept, if you know what I mean, in them days. And she'd come every Sunday morning and try to wake me up. And I'd make excuses. I'll try to go with you next Sunday, Mama. I can't, you know. And this is what she'd say. Now, Daddy wasn't in the grave. He's in heaven. But this is what she'd say. Your daddy would turn over in his grave if he knew you wasn't in church. My daddy was a preacher. My daddy loved the Lord. And I went to Sunday school all my life. But that tear me up. Now, listen, let me get to my point. I'm engaged to get married, and the revival's going on at their church. And she said, why not? My wife was Jackie, was my girlfriend then. And she said, why don't you bring Jackie and go with me to the revival tonight? Okay, yeah. I thought, I want them to see what a pretty girl I'm married. And that night, that old preacher preached hell hot. Every time I'd go, it tempt me, bothered me to want to stay awake. It was conviction, but I didn't know what it was, you see. But that night, I'm sitting there beside of my girlfriend, going to be my wife in a month, and my mother. And that man preached and gave the invitation. And it seemed like my heart's going to come out of me. And you don't get saved by crying. But I was standing there biting my lip. And the devil, if you're lost, the devil will do everything he can to carry you to hell. And that night, Jody, I stood there, and I didn't cry out loud, but tears was flowing. And the first thought hit me, what if your girlfriend looks around and sees you crying? She'll think she's marrying a crybaby. I didn't know, but it's the devil put that in my mind. And I stood there, and they sung another verse. People are going to get saved. And then the thought hit me, what if you can't hold out? You better wait and hold out. And he kept singing. And I remember saying to that thought, girl or no girlfriend, I don't want to go to hell. October the 24th, 1948, I happen to remember the time when I turned loose that pew, that something happened in my life. The Lord came in. Now back in those days, you take your Bible, and that's what you ought to do if somebody comes and leads them to the Lord. But back in those days, that little church, they just get around you and pray. And I'd seen some of them get up and shout. And the preacher said, this young man wants to be saved. Some of you men come in and pray with him. And I don't know, six, eight of them around me praying. I thought it'll hit me in a minute, I guess. But it didn't do it. Peace came when I said yes to Jesus right back there. Now that's been 67 years, I guess, or 68. It will be in October. And I don't want to get away from that. I tried this and that and the other. But peace came in my heart that I've never had before. And Jesus Christ is the one that gave. And he deserves first place in my life. And in your life, because he saved us and he gave us peace. He said, John 14:27, he said, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Listen, when I see people and they're going to this thing and they're going to that thing and they're going and they're trying, and I think, oh, if they just knew what I had in my heart. You get all of those things. You think about Solomon. He tried it all. But then he said, I hated life. Peace comes from Jesus Christ. Let me tell you about old Scotty Long right quick. You don't know it. A few years back, Scotty moved from up north, and he was a businessman there in Winston-Salem. We're 7 miles out of Winston-Salem. He lived about 2 miles from the church. And I invited him to church, and he said, I don't know where I believe is God or not, I'll come. It was like, yeah. And he came, his wife and him and three little children. Well, he had come to preach in every Sunday morning. And then I'd go see him, and he would thank me. He'd follow me to the car, but I couldn't get him saved. And it went on like that. You know, the Lord uses a word. And we, for years and years, about a dozen of us men, been praying on Saturday night about 9 o'clock for our service on Sunday morning. So we was praying. Now listen, and got through. And there come old Scotty in, about 9:30, 10, about 10 o'clock. I thought, what's he doing here? And he said, could I see you back here a minute? I said, yes, sir. And I stepped back in the vestibule, and these men are still down here. And he said, you told me the Lord saved me. And he said, I don't know why he went to cemetery. I never did ask him. But he said, I've been down here in your cemetery for an hour asking him, and he won't save me. I knew he was looking for feeling. And I took my testament, and I said, Scotty, I said, now, this is the first thing. Do you know you're a sinner? He said, how well I know that. I said, all right. Now, I took scriptures, and I done this. I used illustrations and all that. And finally, I said, you know, he said, I got to John 6:47. If you remember that verse, verily, verily, it means truly, truly. I say unto you, I said, now, Scotty, Jesus is talking to you. He said to you, he put your name there, that believeth on me hopes he's got it. He said, no, don't say that. I said, he that believeth on me feels he. He said, don't say that. And I said, well, what does it say? It says H-A-T-H, hath. I said, that's now, everlasting life. Do you believe? Well, and I said, well, you're God and one's mistaken. He said, he that believeth on me hath it. He said, well, I'm sure he's not. And that fellow looked at me. He was 47 years old. And he looked at me and he said, you mean to tell me that if I'll take that word that I've got everlasting life? I said, that's what it says. And he reached over and took my hand and he said, preacher, I'm going to believe that. Where I ever know I'm saved or not, I've got everlasting life because that says so. Jeannie, come out. We come out of the vestibule. No boys are still standing down there seeing what's coming out. He come down, and he is about a dozen of them, and he shook hands, and he said, I just got everlasting life. I just got everlasting life. He went all over that place. And I said, now, Scotty, I said, since then, we got water. Out there now, but then, at that time we had to draw a little bit of time to put in our baptistry. But now they've got water run out there in the county. Well, anyway, I said, now let me explain to you about baptism. And I started telling him. He said, well, let's do it. Let's do it. I said, now wait a minute. I said, now Scotty, they don't have a thing, do you, going to heaven? This is what he said. He said, preacher, I've never had peace like this in my life. I've been to Mass all my life, but I've never had nothing like this. And I want to do everything that I'm supposed to do. He said, don't you have a pond or something around here? he's a Yankee. I mean, he's raised in the city up north. I said, well, I said, yes, yeah, in March, it's cold. And I said, yeah, well, Brother Heath, I told him. I said, you go on home and get your wife and kids, and I'm going home, put my jeans on, and I'll be over and get you in a few minutes. So I went home, changed clothes, my wife and I had been praying for him. I told him what happened. So I go back and pull in, his wife and them little kids followed, my 12 men, they done down there too. And we went down to Mr. Heath's pond, that's one of our members. I knocked on his door, it's 1:15. On Sunday morning. And I said, Will, and I told him the story, don't shoot us. We're going down through the cow pasture and, you know, on down to the pond. And he said, let me get my light and I'll go with you. and we went down there, and I don't know, but I used to baptize, you know, and get you a stick and feel your way out, you know. You know what I mean. You know, you're going out into some water you've never been before, you might fall in the hole. So I got me a big old stick about 1 o'clock on Sunday morning, and I went out there and felt my way along, you know, and got out there about waist deep. And I said, now you come on. And he come on in there. And I've never heard Amazing Grace sung so sweet in my life. I don't know where them guys could take a care of tune or not. I never asked them to sing it. But man, out there at 1 o'clock, standing on the bank of that old pond, they began to sing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch. I baptized that old boy. It was cold, but I never even sneezed from it. I went on home, and he went on home, and I took my shower, and my wife and I was rejoicing, you know. And next morning, we got out of the car, and he got out, and here we are. It just so happened we met going into church together. Looked like it was just a light around. I said, Scotty, how you doing? He said, the longer I stayed up, the better it got. He said, I hadn't been to bed yet. He said, preacher, I didn't tell you. Said, my wife's daddy is an old preacher from West Virginia, and there's 16 young'uns. And they've been after me for years to get saved, what you've been taught. And he said, we've been setting up the rest of the night, part of them's in Ohio and Pennsylvania and everywhere else, and making phone calls all night telling about me getting saved. That's the happiest man. And he got to witnessing and winning soul. He's in heaven now. But he said, I never had anything. And I want to tell you something tonight. If you don't know Christ, you don't know the peace that passeth all understanding. And only knowing him. And I'm trying to say tonight, Christian, me and you, he deserves first place in our life. You know, you have a lot of experiences. Like Gene, you know what I'm talking about after you've been in the ministry for years. One of my dear old preachers, I just thought about it here. He changed churches. One of my friends, back a few years ago, he was pastor, and he left that church to pastor another church. He said, Brother Bobby, I got the shut-in people's names and where they live, and I wanted to go see them along. He said, I went to this house, and he said, I knocked on the door. They told me this elderly lady lived there. And he said, I knocked, and I heard a little voice saying, come on in. And he said, I opened the door and said, this house had a big old wide hall, and his room's like this. Nobody there. So I walked into the hall and said, I heard another voice said, this way. And I tapped on one of the doors and opened it. And he said, there sat this Brother Bobby, this little lady, and she had the palsy. She's sitting in the chair, and said her little body was going like that. And he said, it shocked me. And he said, I just kind of made a step back. And he called her name and said, I'm the new pastor of the church. I just wanted to come and see you and meet you. He said, that little lady said, well, sit down over there. Don't get scared. The waves may look rough on the outside, but there's peace inside. There's peace inside. My sweetheart, I was preaching 2 hours from home, and I never left her by herself. So my kids would stay if I was gone all night, all my life. But she told me 2 or 3 days, made a statement, 2 or 3 days before she went to heaven. We're just sitting there talking, and she said, Daddy, I just might go on any time and be with Jesus. She went a bit more upset than anything in the world. And I say, Mom, don't talk like that. I can't do it without you now. And she said, I'll be waiting for you. And that night, when I was on my way from down to Charlotte, about 2 hours, I'd call her. And she said, Daddy, I'm so sick on my stomach. And she said, my chest hurts me. In fact, I vomited twice. And I said, Mom, I'm on my way fast as I can get there. And we talked and talked. It was 11:30 and I got there, just she and I at home. And I said, now let's go to the hospital. And I got her in the car and went to the hospital. They come out and they said, it looks like she's having a heart attack. We're going to do all we can. You go over in the waiting room, and at 3 o'clock in the morning, the doctor come and said, "Mr. Robertson, her main artery is blocked completely. And we've tried 6 times to open it. We're afraid we'll damage that artery. We've given her some medication, and we hope that'll work." And she'll be back in the room. And I went back in, sat down beside the bed. She talked. She said, "Daddy," oh, she loved me. She said, "Daddy, now you got to get some stress. You go on home. I'm going to be all right." And the kids, of course, I have 4 children. There's a coming. And so my oldest daughter, 1 o'clock in the morning, my wife said, "Now listen," that was the next day, not that night. And my wife said, "Now don't you hurry out here in the morning. You need some rest and I'm going to be fine." And Sue was with her. Steve was coming later on. And anyway, I got home at 2 o'clock and got in the bed. And been there about 10 minutes and my phone, my cell phone, it was my daughter, the one with her. And she's crying and she said, "Daddy," she said, "something happened all at once." Said, I sat beside her bed and said, "Mama," just kind of, she said, "They're working with her. I'm afraid she's gone. And when I got there, she's done gone to heaven." But she had peace that only Christ can give. That's what I'm saying. And folks, listen, and here's another reason why he ought to be first place in our life. Not only because he saved us, but he alone can give us peace that the world is trying to find. But you and I have it. That's what I'm saying. And here's another thing we ought to do is he's the only way for prayer. You hear a lot about prayer. There's one way. Jesus, he died, rose again, and he's sitting down at the right hand of the Father to make intercession for us. Now, you can write prayers, and you can talk about the Father, and you can talk about this one, you can talk about that, and you just go through a form. There's only one way, and through the blood of Jesus Christ is through into the presence of a holy God. And I'm glad. And I'm saying, what an honor. What an honor. You see, the world, they talk about prayer, and don't even know what it's about. But we that are saved, we know, not that we're worthy, but we know because Jesus is our mediator and is one mediator between God and man, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ, my friend. Thank God. I preached a whole lot for an old fellow up in the mountains of North Carolina. He talked slow and long, old country boy. And in a little small church, he used to preach there. He's in heaven now. And we'd go to the prayer room every night. He'd get about a dozen men, we'd go in there, and he'd say before we prayed, he said, "Now, brother," he said, "don't forget where we're fixing to go. We're fixing to go in the throne room." And then we'd start praying. And you know, you and I, if we had some officials or some of the crowd in Washington as bad and mean as it is up there, if you had a chance to go in and sit down with one of the officials, and you'd probably come back and say, "Hey, I went in such and such an office." But listen, we ought to be excited. I went and I talked to the King of Kings this morning. Yeah, it's all right. Let's go. Listen, our world's in a mess, but our Lord's not nervous. He's never had to take a tranquilizer yet, and he won't do it either. You just remember that. He knows, and all the devils in hell can't move him, my friend. That's my Father, and there's only one way that a poor old sinner ought to go to hell, but because of the blood of Jesus, I can enter into his presence and talk to him. That's why he ought to have first place in my life, in your life. And then here's another reason why he ought to. It's because he's the only one can deliver us from the powers of temptation. The devil can overfire you and I, but he can't do nothing with Jesus. You remember? He said, "Resist the devil in Jesus' name, and then he'll flee from us." And he'll do that. There's no temptation taking you, but it's common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer to be tempted above that which you're able. He that's in you is greater than he that's in the world. Don't take those things just for granted, my friend. I'm just saying these are some reasons why that we ought to let him always, every day of our life, we ought to surrender to him, and he ought to be first in our life, my friend. And then I want to say this in closing tonight. He's the only one who can take us to heaven. Remember what he said in John 14? He told his disciples, he said, now you don't be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it wasn't so, I would have told you, I'm going to prepare a place. If I go and prepare it, I'm going to come again and get you. And where I am, there you may be also. And whether I go, you know, and the way you know it. One of his disciples said, we don't know the way, Lord. We don't know how you. And Jesus said, I am the way. He didn't say I'm a way. Oh, boy, our world's so full of religion today. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man can come to my Father except by me. And one of these days, and I honestly don't know, I cloud believe it's going to be near. One of these days, he's going to step out on the cloud when we're not even thinking about it. The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout. And the voice of the archangel, a trump's going to blow. And our loved ones, whom we went out shunned and grieved and put their bodies there, they're not there, their bodies. But when he gives that trumpet sound, that soul and spirit's going to be united in a brand new glorified body. And you and I have the old mortal body that's subject to physical death, but just like it, we'll put on an immortal body. Our old bodies are decaying every day, but all at once, by the time you bat your eye, we got a brand new body, and there's our loved ones. Only Jesus can do that. And he's going to take us up yonder to live with him forever and forever. Friend, if you've got cold in your heart as a Christian, and you begin to let things come in, get yourself, get it right. Paul said in all things, he should have first place. He should have preeminence. And do that. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, the things you need, he'll add them. And he'll just throw a little handful on purpose every once in a while. Boy, I think how good he is to me. He took my wife to heaven, and I miss her awful. But she don't have to face this old mess we're in today. She didn't have to lay and suffer with cancer like we have people. You can think a lot of things. Surely goodness and mercy has followed us and keep on going. And all I'm just saying, think of the things of God and the things of God. And say, by the grace of God, he's when the doors of the church is open, be there. Be there. Tell others people about Jesus. I mean, don't mind standing. Well, what they think. What do you think you thought of the Savior? You see, he done all that for me. And I ought to be willing to surrender every day to him. And you ought to too. Now, if you're here and you're not saved tonight, you need Jesus. You need him. You can't figure it out. It's a step by faith. You'll never hold out. You won't give up your good times. You'll be enjoying a good relationship with the Lord along the way. Let's bow and have just a word of prayer. I want to ask you tonight, first of all, I want to ask you if there's someone here tonight. Now listen, I'm not planning to try to come back to your seat. But folks, it's awful to turn Jesus Christ away and wake up in hell one day. And I wonder if you're here tonight. You might say, Brother Bobby, I wouldn't want you to embarrass me, but I want you to pray for me. I'm concerned, and I don't really know that if the Lord come back tonight or if I died, I don't really know I'd go to heaven. And I'm concerned about this matter, and I want you to be praying. Would you just slip your hand right up and put it down? God will see it, and I'll see it, and I'm going to pray for you. And I believe there's people sitting around me praying for you. Now, anybody like that tonight? Preacher, you may be a church member, but I really just don't know. I hope everybody's saved. I hope there's nobody here tonight that is so hardened so blinded until you don't care. I wonder tonight, and you don't have to raise your hand. We'll stand and sing a verse. But I wonder tonight if you're here and you say, Brother Bobby, I'm saved, but I've been letting things take too much of my time before the Lord, and I'm going to start by His grace. He's going to have first place, and I want you to pray with me about it. Would you slip your hand up if there is anybody like it? God bless your heart. I see your hand. Now let's pray for them. God bless you here. I see that hand. Anyone else like that? We need to pray one for another. Brother Bobby, I've been letting other things creep in. Maybe not sin, but things. Where all these things He does and done for me, He ought to have first place. And I want you to help me pray that He will have in my life. Slip your hand up if that be so. If it be so. If it be, God bless you over here. Yes, someone else. Someone else. You young people, you have a lot of things to face out here in life, but Jesus loves you more than anything. The devil wants to trip you up, but Jesus is the way you need to go. Let's stand and have just a word of prayer, would you? All right, let's just pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the word of God tonight, and I want you to help me to practice what I've preached every day of my life. Help us to never get built up, knowing we are nothing but sinners saved by grace. Help us never get used to the good things of God, but help us to be grateful and thankful. I pray that you'd bless Brother Jody and his family. And I pray that this church will always stand for the truth, the Word of God. In a day when there's so much compromising and turning to all kinds of rock stuff in the church, rock music, all that junk, I pray this church will always stand true. It'll be a lighthouse around this area that can help us that we might let our light shine. Lord, that the people might see Jesus in us. Now, Lord, I pray for these that raised their hand. I trust they've already made a decision right there at their seat. You said, when we know to do good and we don't do it, it's sin. But if we confess it, you're faithful and just to forgive us. And I thank you for that. And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, Lord, no one raised their hand, but we'll have a verse or two. And if there's somebody here lost tonight, please help them to see their, realize they're lost. And may they come to the Lord by faith and trust Him tonight as their Savior. I pray in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. All right, let's sing. How you do usually? All right.
All to Jesus.
If God has spoken to you, the preacher's right here, and the altar's a good place to be for God's people. If the Lord has spoken to you, mind Him. Would you come? Just like to come kneel and talk to Him about some things. You come on and mind the Lord.
In His presence daily live.
Yes.
I surrender all
to Him.
I surrender all.
Would you like to come just talk with Him? I just want to surrender it all, Brother Bobby. It's not surrender. You come on. Anyone else? Let's sing another verse. God has spoken to you, come.
All to Jesus I surrender.
Yes.
Lord, amen. I give myself to Thee.
Amen.
Fill me with Thy love and power. Let Thy blessing fall on me. I surrender.
Yes.
I surrender.
Amen.
All. to thee, my blessed Savior.
Joey, you take it, sir.
I surrender.
Amen. I want to say, Jody, thank you for letting me come. I've enjoyed myself tonight. I'm not much a preacher, but I like to talk about Jesus. He's so sweet. He's so wonderful. And you pray for us, man. And I know I'm supposed to die to self, but if you don't come back tomorrow night, you're going to hurt my feelings. So just one more night, you come back and pray. God will help me to have the very message, the very message. You know, things I always close 4, 5, 6 times. But when we was talking about this song, you was talking about surrender and all. One of my men was telling me some time ago, this really happened. He said back some years ago out west, they had been big old wheat fields, and said this man was a Christian, and he owned 100 acres of wheat. And that year, I don't know how many, 56, I don't know how many years ago, but he said it really happened that the grasshoppers just riddled the wheat fields that year. And he said that fellow went down to a little country store. And one of the men said, you're a Christian? He said, yes, sir, I am. I'm saved. He said, what kind of God do you serve would let the grasshoppers come in here and riddle up your field out yonder? And that old fella said, sir, you got this thing all wrong. That's God's wheat, and if he wants to feed it to the grasshoppers, that's his business. Now, that's surrender. That's surrender, amen.
He's a blessing, isn't he? I tell you, praise the Lord for it. Hope you wouldn't mind, Pastor Robertson, if I have Brother Daniel to escort you out to the lobby so our folks can greet you. Okay, that'll be good. If you take him out there, that'll be good. Tomorrow night, same time. Thank you, sir. You know, I've been challenged tonight just to, when you hear this man preach, it makes you think a little bit more of Jesus, doesn't it? And that's what preaching should do. So praise the Lord for it. And please be back tomorrow night. Invite some other folks to come with you. I've been told that there are some others coming tomorrow night. I'm talking about from visiting churches. So we appreciate all of you being here, those visiting with us, our own church people. God bless you. Good Monday night crowd. And let me encourage you, be back tomorrow night. And folks, we have been in the presence of a man of God tonight. What a man of God. And let's put the Lord first in our lives. And pray for him. His heart's still out of his chest towards his wife, and that's a challenge as well. So let's pray for him. When you leave tonight, shake his hand. Let him know you appreciate him being here. And like he said, you're not going to hurt his feelings if you be back tomorrow night, okay? Preacher, lastly, if you wouldn't mind, sir, to dismiss us in prayer, please.
Hurry up.